Said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. He will not. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He's coming at any moment. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a change, isn't it? A change. Glory to God. I'm glad to be here tonight. So thankful for the privilege the preacher gave us tonight to be able to stand and open the Word of God. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, we're going to be reading some tonight from Joshua chapter number 1 and also chapter number 2. I'll try to give you some things God's put on my heart. Some good study of the Word of God. I'm thankful for His Word tonight. And I say this often, this book's alive. It is. It's alive. And I've got children, I've got grandchildren that are not currently in church, but they've been under the preaching of God's Word. And so the Word has been sown. And it's been watered, just waiting for God to give the increase. Never stop praying. Don't ever give up. Never give up. God's able to do all things. All right, chapter number 1 of the book of Joshua. We'll begin reading tonight, verse number 1. I'm going to read down a few verses and then flip over to chapter number 2. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Turn to chapter number 2. Begin reading tonight at verse number 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Let's bow our heads tonight, please, and go to God in a word of prayer. My Father, I'm so thankful tonight for the singing in the choir, the special singing. Lord, it's all been good, been so good. It's blessed my heart, blessed my soul, encouraged me. Lord, if there's ever a day that we need encouragement, it's now. Lord, you are the one to give us courage. You strengthen us. Your word is our rock that we stand on tonight. It's the path that we walk. It's what leads us in this life. And oh God, I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I can say tonight that I know that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I read chapter number 1 tonight. You notice that God said unto Joshua that Moses, his servant, his minister, was dead. Now we know tonight what he's talking about. That's physically. This took me a way back in the scripture, the studying across this. If you flip back just one page in your Bible, you'll find where Moses died. And the Bible teaches us in the Word of God that he died up on the mountain looking out over the promised land. But Moses never got to go into the promised land, not physically. And the Bible said this, that God buried Moses there. Nobody knows unto this day where Moses was buried. And these things just been dwelling on my mind now for several days. And I got to thinking about Moses when he, of course, he was called to preach the word of God, to go lead the children of Israel on the backside of Midian, to go to Egypt and lead his people out of bondage. And he brought the children of Israel out of bondage. They served with rigor. It was hardship. It was horrible what the Israelites suffered through. But Moses was the one that God chose to deliver his people. And he delivered them by the blood that was put upon the doorpost and over the door lintel. It's always by the blood. There's no other way but by the blood. And I'm grateful tonight for the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now you bear with me tonight. I want to lay some thoughts tonight for the message and get on to the message. But I thought about this, that when they came up out of the bondage of Israel, they were set free. They sang a song. They rejoiced together. And then they came to the Red Sea, an obstacle in their way, but not for God. God parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And the Philistines, the children of Egypt, they died in the flood when the Red Sea went back together. And Israel continued to travel. They kept on, and they came to a place of decision. And this is a place that Joshua was also there, that Moses sent out 12 men, one out of each tribe of Israel, to go over into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, and search it out, and said, bring me some of the fruit of it. Tell me if they're weak, they're strong. If there's many, just tell me all about this promised land. And so there was one person out of each tribe of Israel that was chosen to go over and to search out that land. And by the way, Joshua was one and Caleb was another. And they searched out all the land. They got over there, they saw the giants. They saw the span of the country. They saw these buildings and stuff and how they had towered themselves in. And they came back, and as they came back, they stopped by a little brook. I'm glad that God put some brooks in our way. They stopped by the brook. And while they were by the brook, it was a place where the fruit of that land grew. And the Bible said that they cut off just one of those clumps of grapes, and they placed it. It took two men to carry it on into the face of Moses, pomegranates and figs, and they brought and showed these things to Moses. Now all of them agreed this, said, Moses, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. Oh, listen, I'm glad, thank God tonight, that I've got a place waiting for me that's prepared by God Almighty. It's prepared by Him. Man hasn't defiled it. No man's touched it. I have not seen nor heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. And Moses is standing there looking at all of this. And he said, should we go? And 10 of them started saying, there's no way. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants in that land. There's no way at all that we're going to be able to take this land. And Caleb and Joshua spoke up and said, if the Lord favor us, if He favor us, then He will deliver us and give us that land. And oh, listen, the opposition, there's always opposition everywhere you go. God begins to bless the church and move in the church. There's always a naysayer that'll say, no, God ain't going to do it. God can't do it. It never will happen. You can't do it. You'll never make it. But I'm going to tell you something, that by the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, all things can be done. Amen. Glory to God for that tonight. I could almost have a spell this evening just thinking about that. But thinking about those 10 that opposed, said, there's no way we can take that land. We can't do it. And they provoked God to anger. You'll find that in the book of Numbers chapter 13 and chapter number 14. God told them, said, all right, from the ages of 20 years old and up, said your carcasses are going to drop in the wilderness. 40 days you searched out that land. And for every day I'm going to give you a year in the wilderness. And you're going to see what it's like in the wilderness. They could have walked right into the promised land. They could have walked right in and enjoyed that place that filled, that flowed with milk and honey. But instead of the opposition, listen, God turned them away. But Joshua and Caleb both, God said of every man from the age of 20 years old and up, their carcasses will drop in the wilderness with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. I thought about Joshua and Caleb as they wandered in the wilderness, that they got to see that pillar of fire by night and they got to see the pillar of cloud by day. I'm telling you, the presence of God they got to enjoy. I love it tonight when God begins to move in, don't you tonight? They saw the power of God as God began to move among his people. They heard them complain. God fed them with angels food. I can't think of nothing any better. I'm telling you tonight, God supplies every need. It doesn't matter what it is, I'm blessed tonight above and beyond what I deserve, far beyond what I deserve. I ought to be in hell tonight, but thanks be unto God for his mercy and his grace and his long suffering, that he looked forward from the cross and I was on his mind. He saw the night that I would fall on my face and cry out upon his name and get saved by the grace of God. Oh, I love Jesus tonight, don't you? I owe him everything tonight. I owe him my life. I owe him it all. I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it weren't by the grace of God tonight. Oh, Joshua got to hanging around Moses and became the servant of Moses. He served him. It's one place it calls he's a minister unto Moses. But he hung around Moses and he served him. And there was a time, remember, when Moses rebelled against God and God said, speak to the rock. Instead, Moses, he slapped that rock. He smote it. The water still came out, but listen, that rock represented our Lord Jesus Christ. He's smitten one time on the cross, smitten by God the Father, became sin for every man. Listen, he carried and bore our sins on the cross on that tree to save our soul tonight. Never to be smitten again. The next time he comes, Revelation 19, thanks be unto God. He's going to come first with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, the church of the living God's going to disappear. We're going to be absent from this world and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, that's enough to fire anybody up tonight. Glory to God. And then thanks be unto God, Revelation 19 and verse number 11. We're going to come back with him one day and reign 1,000 years upon this earth with our Lord Jesus Christ. They wondered. They wondered, there come a day when God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, said that man right there, Joshua, he's got the spirit in him. Boy, I like that. I like the way the Lord said that. Said, Joshua has a spirit in him. Said, I want you to go down. I want you to take Joshua. And said, I want you to lay your hand upon him. Oh, listen tonight. There's something about the touch. Do you mind if I reminisce just a few minutes tonight of how I got blessed this week? I walked in my study the other day and I just glanced over the corner and right there hung a little plaque on the wall. It said December the 9th, 1984. And I looked down, began to read the names down through there. There was 7 men and 1 woman's name on there. Sister Kay, yours was there. By the way, tomorrow's her birthday. Tomorrow's my wife's birthday. But what was hanging on the wall was my ordination. I'll never forget, Preacher Lawson, when you preached out of 2 Timothy. and preached the charge.
Amen.
God called me to pastor a church, and I was ordained by this church December 9th, 1984. And Preacher Lawson preached from Timothy as Paul charged young Timothy to preach the word. And I've tried by the help and grace of God to stay in the borders of this book right here. I found out a lot of times that telling stories on different stuff like that, it don't mean nothing at all. But I'm going to tell you, when you read the Bible, this book ain't boring. I'm telling you, I've had a time this week studying the Word of God. I'm going back reading. I'm then studying this book. Hey, this book's full of action. You like action? Go to this book and read it. You like to see people die? Go to this book and read it. There's a lot of death in this book. Man, I just didn't like that movie. There just wasn't enough bloodshed. Wasn't enough bullets shot. Oh, listen to me tonight. This Bible's wonderful, but my mind began to go back, and I remembered as I was here in front of the church, and these men questioned me, and preacher preached the ordination, and then all the men at the end of it, there was something, Preacher Lawson, about the touch of a hand upon the shoulder. Now, I know the Bible says it's laying hands on no man suddenly. You'll be partakers of their sin. You better be careful of that. But listen, I have laid my hands on people to pray, and the power and the Spirit of God sometimes has become overwhelming.
Yes, amen.
I'll never forget this preacher up here at this other building. I was going through some troubles and some trials. I'm telling you, I was in a hole. I was in a black hole, and I come to see the preacher. I was pastoring somewhere, come to see the preacher. I said, "Preacher, I'm in a hole. I need for you to pray for me." I didn't know how to get out of it. I'd tried everything, prayed and prayed and prayed, and seemed like the sky was just a dark cloud. Seemed like everything was black. Didn't seem like God even knew where I lived at all. We knelt down right up there in the room, brother, in that other building, just me and the preacher. And I promise you this, the preacher laid his hand on my shoulder, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God moved. And I felt a warmth like somebody just pouring warm water right down my back. And I sensed the presence of a holy God that moved upon me and touched me. I'm telling you, there's nothing tonight that can replace the touch of God in your life. Moses laid his hand on Joshua. Took him down in front of Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation of the nation of Israel, and laid his hand on him. And God said, "I want you to impart unto Joshua some of your honor." So there was something transferred from Moses right into Joshua. And that's good stuff. That's food for my soul tonight. That's why God's gave us the church tonight. We fellowship one with another. Bickering, arguing, and talking about other people don't get it done. You mean to tell you what's got the church in a lot of trouble? It's that right there. The convenience of that. Pick it up. Start running somebody else down. If you can't say nothing good, just keep your mouth shut. That's what I think. That's the best thing to do. I know, preacher, I'm not the pastor. I don't mean nothing by that. But I'm telling you the truth tonight. He imparted Moses' honor. Come into Joshua, and Joshua began to grow. He watched Moses. He learned by Moses. And so when we read in Joshua chapter number 1, we're reading of someone that's seasoned by God, that saw the miracles that God done from Egypt through the wilderness. He saw it all, every bit of it. He was experienced in it. He knew. Did you know this that I was reading this afternoon? And did you know that Moses went back? He said, "Lord," he said, "I just believe I'll ask God again. Lord, would you please let me go over into Lebanon. Let me see that land. Let me see that place that flows with milk and honey. And God spoke to him back and got angry with Moses and said, just be sufficed the way you are. And don't mention this matter again. I'm telling you, when God says to shut up about something, he means it, don't he? Yeah, that's exactly right. Sometimes there's a time to run your mouth. Sometimes there's a time to shut up. And we need to learn and be sensitive to the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. Now Moses is God. And it's prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it is about chapter number 3. That Joshua would lead the people into the promised land. Moses, you're not going in. I'm going to let you see it. But it's going to be Joshua that's going to take my people in and divide and separate the land unto them. And that's exactly what Joshua was about to do. In chapter number 1, God told him, said, Moses, my servant's dead. By a minute, he's dead. He goes down in chapter number 1 and he encourages Joshua. God said, be strong and of a great courage. Be strong. He says, meditate in my law every morning. I think I missed it, didn't I? It says, day and night is what the Bible said. Meditate in my law day and night. Be thou strong. Be thou very courageous. Joshua, you can do it. I'll fight your battles for you. I'll help you. I'll be with you. Just keep the law of God. That's exactly what he told him. Keep the law. He said, don't go to the left hand. Don't go to the right. Stick right down the middle. Boy, that's the way I want to be, gun barrel straight. Amen. I don't want to turn either way. I tell you, I've done it before, and I do it. When you, every time you do it, you get in trouble. That's right. And God may not say something to you immediately. Or he might speak in that still, small voice, just whisper it quietly. And really, you know that's him talking, but you just kind of ignore what he's saying. And then you get outside the borders of where you ought to be living, and then God will really talk to you. He'll let you know. You'll not be happy. The most miserable person in this world is a child of God that's not right with God. And for some reason, they want everybody else around them to be miserable too.
That's right. Amen.
Your illness spreads. I'm not happy. I'm down in the dumps. I just want everybody else to be. Why are they raising their hand? Why are they shouting? Why are they? I'm not like that.
Yes. Amen.
Get over your grumples tonight. Get right with God and get some joy in your heart. I'm telling you, God will fill you up. He'll let you experience. He'll let you get under the spout where the glory runs out.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Now, I've got that first part out of the way. I need to preach the rest, brother. The first place he sends them is to Jericho, the spies. Now Joshua's been there. He knows exactly how this works. He sent out 2 spies. He said, now preacher, who are they? Well, I read across a few. Some said it might be Caleb, one of them. But the Bible doesn't tell us their name anywhere, who these 2 spies are. Lo and behold, they wind up in the house of a harlot. Well, now they just definitely can't be right with God. Wait on the providence of God. You wait. God's working things out. Oh, yeah. They walked in, both of them, into a harlot's house. And what did she do? She received them. That was the first act of her faith, was receiving the spies. She knew where they were from. But the king of Jericho heard about them coming in and sent down to her house, and she lied to them. Said, yeah, they was some men coming here, but I don't know where they're from. and said, I sent them out. I don't know where they went. Said, if you'll pursue after them and hurry quickly before the gate closes, you might pursue and find them and catch them. And so they went out. And so she went up on the roof where she had hid them in the flax. Another act of her faith. And she says these words. I'm telling you, I was reading this week, and I'm telling you, it just like to come from the mouth of a harlot. And everywhere that Rahab is mentioned in the scripture, with exception of one, she's always referred to as Rahab the harlot, or the harlot Rahab. Matthew chapter number 1, it's Rahab. Oh yeah. Why, preacher? Because she was brought out of the roar.
Yeah,
put in the roar.
Yeah.
Ooh, that put chill bumps all over me tonight. About need a ladder to scratch them puppies. I'm telling you, hallelujah to God. I read this week. And God bless my soul with it. In Joshua chapter number 2, they came into her house. And she told them and said this. She spoke unto them and said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. And that your terror is fallen upon us. Preacher was preaching about that this morning. About the fear of God. People don't fear God no more. If people feared God the way they're supposed to tonight, you'd have to make people squish up in the benches to sit down. Instead, tonight, they're out watching the movie. They're out mowing their grass, or before the rain comes, they're out seeing a movie somewhere. They're doing something besides attending the house of God. It's not just here. It's all over the place. Churches are falling off. They just won right up the road, a little Pentecostal holiness church. Well, I've been watching it for several weeks here now, and there's not been a car there, and the yard's not even been mowed. I see churches closing down all the time, and they go down the street. They're shutting down. Why? Because everybody's out playing somewhere instead of desiring to be in the house of God. Now, I'm telling you the truth. And I probably got families the same way. Oh, yeah. Look what she says. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now listen to what she says. Oh, this blessed my soul this week. For the Lord, look at your Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the mighty creator of all this universe. For the Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I can't believe I just heard that out of a harlot's mouth. Let me tell you something. God is God in heaven and He's God in earth. When Jesus Christ came into this world buried, He was born of a virgin Mary. He was very God in the flesh. And it was God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ that hung on the cross and suffered for our sins. Just as much God, but God in the flesh. Brother and sister, He could speak to the waves and they would lay down. He could speak to the leper and he was made whole. He could open the eyes of the blind. He could raise the dead. He could walk on water. May I go on and on and on tonight. There was nothing that was restrained under the Lord Jesus Christ because He was God in the flesh walking on the earth. neither could the grave hold him. On that third day, glory to God, he came forth out of that grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Bible said this, that he hung around here a little while. He seen the brethren. They handled him. They touched him. They sat down and eat with the Son of God. And Jesus said, I want you to go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Oh, listen, he stood there. And that day he stood there, and all of a sudden there was a cloud that come down out of the sky, and Jesus stepped on that cloud. And those disciples stood there and watched him ascend up into heaven. And they watched him till he clear out of sight. Men in white apparel stood around and said, why gaze ye? Why stand ye gazing to heaven? This same Jesus that's gone away, in like manner say, come again. Amen. Glory to God. My, that's powerful what she said. They made a covenant with her, the two spies. Said, don't tell this our business. Don't tell this our business. Don't tell anybody that we've been here. Don't let nobody keep it a secret. Rahab had asked them, said, would you spare my mom? Would you all spare my dad? What about my brothers and my sisters? What about my family? Would you spare them? And the spies said, all right, we'll spare them. We'll make this oath with you. We'll spare them, but only if she let them back down by a scarlet thread out of the window and told those spies which direction to go. They said, we'll spare you only if that scarlet cord, oh, that's the blood. That's the blood. You leave it hanging here in your window, and when we come, and we're coming, when we come. And listen, all this happened before Israel ever crossed over Jordan. And they crossed on the other side of Jordan. For 6 days they marched around Jericho. The seventh day they marched seven times around Jericho. But before that seventh final loop, Joshua had done sent into the house of Rahab and brought her, her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, and what she had, she brought all the way out and put them in the very back. They became a part of the nation of Israel. If you read and study, you find out that Rahab married a Jew. Oh yeah, this is leading to putting her right in. I mean right in to the light. Oh yeah. She married a Jew. You know what Rahab became? The great, great grandmother of King David. Amen. Isn't that incredible? You go to Matthew chapter number 1 and you read down through there and you'll find where she married Solomon. But it doesn't say Rahab the harlot. It says Rachel. Her name changed. She's in the divine line. I'm glad tonight that the blood's been applied to my soul. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. So, preacher, I'm just not sure if I got the Holy Ghost. You can't. Listen, if you don't know you have him, you don't. It's impossible. Every once in a while, me and the Lord just have a time together. It's not every day, and it might not be every week, but every once in a while, the Lord just lets me stand under that spout. I might be mowing grass, preacher. I don't know. Sometimes I'll be riding that mower, and before you know it, I done got off the trail somewhere. Yeah, then lost where I'm going. I'm telling you what, God's good tonight. I love that fountain that he gives us drink from, that he told the woman at the well, that'll never run dry.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I reckon it's time for me to shut up. I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to say tonight. I don't know why the other stuff. I don't know why. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if I just get out of bounds and I'm And you don't want me to just put a door there, just shut it and let me just go on. I've had some old men of God down through the years. Brother Ed Blue, Brother Berman Kate. Some good old men of God is old fashioned. Just rear back and preach the word. Without fear and without favor. I've had them put their hand on me and pray for me. And I'm thankful for that Spirit of God. We run in. I don't know why. I've had some things breaking down around the house, preacher. Used to about 12 years ago. Brother Phil, I could take one of those 40, 50 gallon water heaters, gas water heater. Now, if they're in your garage, they've got to be up on the stand, up off the floor. I used to bear hug them, pick them up, and put it on there. Last thing I done is about 12 years ago. My water heater went out. But God brought some people by, just walking up. And listen, I live a long way off the main road. He's come walking up the driveway. This fella come walking up through there about a month ago. And he said, "I want to talk to you about the insulation on your house." I said, "Okay, let's talk." And we got to talking, and before you know it, I was talking to him about Jesus. I was telling him about Jesus. And I told him, you see that neighbor right down there, she used to live right down there. She used to grab her kids and run from me. But I said, but not now. So I got saved. I got born again. I said, "Do you know the Lord?" "Yeah." I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "I go to the Mormon church." But he assured me he knew the Lord. Only God knows that. But I gave him the gospel. I gave him the word of God. There'd been two or three other people come by. Things break down. I had to get somebody, Brother Phil, to put that water heater in for me. Shoot, it's all I could do to go to Gray Hodges and get it loaded on a trailer and get it home. I'm almost 71, okay? Give me a break. Can't do like I used to do. But God's brought different people into my life that I've got to talk to and tell them about Jesus. Sometimes just out of nowhere. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm grateful. So I'm not just a preacher here, but I get to tell out there too. I hope and pray tonight that you got something out of the message that encouraged you and helped you. Maybe pick you up a little bit, encourage you a little bit. You want some encouragement, go back and read chapter number 1 of the book of Joshua. See what God had to say to him. Joshua just fulfilled the prophecies from Abraham all the way down to Isaac. To Jacob. Took them over in. You keep reading the book of Joshua, and he divided the lands, separated it, made boundaries. I got to say this one thing and I'll shut up. This fella used to be my boss. Put out a little article. This article was written by supposedly one of the last people that went up into space. And I could read woke all through it. It was an article about looking at the earth and it being round and blue. Didn't see no boundaries. Didn't see no color. Didn't see no racism. Didn't see this. Didn't see that. What that person artist saw and thought about was the God that created that down there. And put it out there in space that people can live on and breathe on and raise crops on and prosper on. But not one word was given to the glory of God. Not one word. Sad, isn't it? That's where we're at today. Let's bow our heads tonight in a word of prayer. Preacher, I'm going to get you to come back. My Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege you gave me tonight to preach your word. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that night. Lord Jesus, I was not looking for you at all. Oh no, I was going the other way. I was headed up the interstate, Lord. I was running away from the invitation that my wife gave me to come to church. I said, no, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to go. Not going to do it. No, no, no. And God, you started dealing with my heart. Lord, I went to church that night. Lord, at 12:25, when the invitation was given, as long as you give me the sanity to remember, Lord, I'll never forget that night that you saved my soul. I want to thank you for it. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, brother.